Well, good evening, folks, and welcome to our service of reflection, of praise, of thanksgiving to God on this Good Friday evening. So this evening what we'll be doing is we will be singing together, we will read through the account of Jesus' arrest, crucifixion, and death from Luke's Gospel. Last year we read it from John's, so we're going to read it from Luke this year. And this will be intermixed with prayers and songs. And then we will all pray that collect prayer at the end together that you should have in your order of service before we close by singing. So we're going to sing all of Psalm 51 in two parts. Psalm 32 we're going to sing today. I'm going to sing on Sunday. So I hope you're looking forward to that and a couple of hymns mixed in as well. So you'll need your psalm books, you'll need your order of service if you haven't got one, and you'll need your Bibles as well. But the songs will be on the screen anyway. Are we all good, Colin? Good. Great. So Good Friday is, of course, the day where we remember Jesus' death on the cross. We remember his suffering. We remember his humiliation. We remember his crucifixion and his death and burial. And we call it Good Friday because although this day is a day of sorrow and a somber day, we know that it was all done for our good. And I saw something on Facebook today that said, Good Friday is good because Sunday is coming. And so though Jesus died, he rose again from the cross, from the grave, showing us that death and sin had been defeated forever. So friends, let's begin our service this evening. There isn't going to be a sermon or anything. We're just going to read the Gospels and reflect on the Word of God and what they speak to us this evening. Let's hear from the beginning of John's Gospel as our call to worship, as we reflect on what the coming of Christ meant for the world, as we consider everything that he was and everything that he did for us on our behalf. So we'll read these first five verses, these familiar verses from John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. So when we think of when Christ was lying in the darkness of the tomb, even there, the darkness did not overcome his light. Let's sing together our first song, our first hymn this evening. We're going to sing together, Oh, to See the Dawn, sometimes called The Power of the Cross. Oh, to see the dawn on the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. If you can, do stand with us as we sing together for God's praise.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power
For our first reading, friends, let's come together and spend time in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Good Friday. Lord, we thank you that Christ, your Son, the eternal Word, who was with you in the beginning, through whom all things were made, was made sin for us. Lord, we thank you that he who bears the name above all names was crushed for us. That he who knew no sin was pierced for our transgressions. That your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, emptied himself of his heavenly glory to come and live as one of us. To humble himself, Lord, to the point of death, even death on a cross. Lord, we thank you for this day. Even though in many ways it's the saddest day that it has ever been, as your own Son died on the cross. And yet, Lord, we thank you because through this sadness, because through his suffering, through his pain, through the wrath that you poured on him, Lord, we are set free. We are set free from the slavery of sin to which we were all bound from birth. That we were set free from its curse. That we were set free from the curse of death, which is the wages of sin. Lord, in many ways we can never thank you enough for what Christ has done. We know we can never repay you for what he did. But that's the beauty of the gospel, Father, is that you do not want us to. You do not need us to. Christ has paid all our debts. They are all written off. They are all cancelled. They are all gone because of him. And he did this out of love for us. Because your merciful love, your gracious love sent him to come and die. And he did so willingly for your people, for your church, for us here this evening. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. We lift up your name. We bless you with all our strength. Because without Christ, we would be lost. We would be in the darkness forever. But because of him, we can see the dawn. We can see the light coming into the world, which is him. We can see the promise he made to return and put right every broken thing, to end suffering, to bring justice to the world, to vindicate his people, to rescue the lowly, the lost, and the suffering in him, to punish the evildoers who will not repent, to show the world that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on that day, Lord, every knee will bow and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So as we focus on the sorrow and the somberness of Good Friday this evening, let us never forget that Sunday is coming. Let us never forget that death cannot hold him, that the grave could not keep him. Lord, that sin had no hold over him. And we thank you for this. And we praise you, O God, and ask that in Christ we would all be forgiven. We would all find peace. We would all find joy and be able to rest in him for each and every day of our lives until we are with him in glory, till we see him face to face and praise him with all that we are. In his holy and precious name we ask it. Amen. So we're going to read together, friends, from Luke's Gospel. We're going to start at the beginning of Luke 22. The story of the Passover. when Judas betrays Jesus in the Last Supper. Our first reading will be taken by me, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 through to 38 of Luke 22 at page 1057 if you're using the church Bibles. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. May he give us all the ears to hear it. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. And he replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you to a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will deny 3 times that you know me. And then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. And he said to them, but now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are 2 swords, and that's enough. He replied. Amen. Friends, let's pray together again. Father God, as we reflect on this account of Judas to betraying Jesus to his enemies, as we reflect on him sitting there around that table on the Last Supper, sharing that Passover meal, Lord, it sparks a warning in our hearts, thinking that could be me. But Lord, we know that in Christ, our hearts are guarded, so that unlike Judas, who was not in Christ, Satan can never enter into us. He can prod us, he can taunt us, he can cajole us, Lord, but he cannot enter us because Christ is already there. And so, Lord, we pray that you would protect us from the evil one, that Christ would guard our hearts, that we would know that peace that surpasses all understanding that he brings. And as we reflect on that bread that was broken, on that wine, Lord, that was shared, we remember the body and blood of Christ. In this story yet to be broken, but we know what is coming. We know what Jesus is going to endure. And we know the promise he has made to his church. And we know as we share communion together in just a couple of days' time on Sunday evening, Lord, what these elements mean. They are a continual reminder of what Christ has done. Continual reminder of his body, which was flogged and beaten. The crown of thorns hung on his head, nails driven through his hands and his feet. Lord, he did that for us. When we drink of the wine, Lord, we will remember his blood as it trickled down his head from the marks of the thorns, as it leaked from the holes in his hands and his feet, as it would flow from that spear wound in his side. Lord, that he did that for us, that through his blood shed, our sins are forgiven. The price for our sin has been paid. Our debt has been settled. It has been paid in full. And so, Lord, as we reflect on these things, remind us of what Christ did for us. Fill us with thankfulness and peace and joy, and also compassion for others. All those we see among us in our daily lives who do not know Christ, who have not had his body broken for them or his blood shed for them, who are wandering around in the darkness, who are lost, who are in need of salvation. Lord, help us to pray for them. Help us to love them enough to be uncomfortable and share the gospel with them, to preach and teach them the good news of Jesus Christ, about what he did for them, for us, all those years ago, and indeed what he's still doing for us today, if they would but believe and trust in him. So Lord, fill us with faith this evening. Fill us with trust. Fill us with thankfulness for Christ and all that he went through for our sakes. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, let's sing together from Psalm 32, from the Sing Psalms. You get practice of it this evening, so on Sunday I expect the best singing you've ever done. This Psalm, Psalm 32, page 38, if you've got your books there. We'll sing verses 1 to 7. How blessed the one who has received forgiveness for his sin, whose sins are covered from God's face, whose debt is cancelled in God's grace. There's no deceit in him. This is what the cross achieved for us, and praise God for it. Let's stand and sing together. Next reading is going to be from where we left off in Luke's Gospel. Colin is going to come and read verses 39 through to 65, so not quite to the end of the chapter, but nearly enough. of Luke's Gospel. So again, you'll find that where we left off on page 1058, Colin, and then he's going to lead us in a word of prayer after. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you do not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike out with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come up with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. When some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. But an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had said, spoken to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we approach again the horrendous yet wondrous cross, for you, the innocent, suffered and died for us, fallen men and women, we cannot but be humbled as we hear again in your word what you went through to seek and to save the lost. We are cut to the quick as we see the disciples letting you down. We see Peter's betrayal and disowning of you in your greatest hour of need. And we are cut to the heart, Lord, because we see our thoughts and our actions played out in them. because we cannot but see and bring to mind the times that we have let you down and betrayed you. The one who loves us and gave himself for us, gave his all for us. So on this Good Friday, as we ponder your suffering, death and atoning work on the cross, we are brought once more to the foot of that cross. Sinners saved by grace, and now saints in your name, but yet men and women who still fall short of your glory. And we repent at our sin that pinned you to that cruel cross. We are brought to our knees at the seriousness of sin and its lethal effect on mankind. We cry out to you, forgiveness, Lord. We are sorry that we sleep when we should be praying, that we sit when we should stand up for you, that we stay silent when we should speak out on your behalf. And Lord, for the times we have betrayed you in our life and our witness before others, we humbly repent and seek your forgiveness. Lord, today is a day that we ponder your death. We mourn over our sin, and we humbly worship and praise your name at the foot of your cross for your atoning sacrifice for us. Lord, you went there so that those who believe in you, the guilty, could go free. Lord, forgive. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. As we approach the crucifixion of Christ, we will reflect on that wondrous cross, which has brought all of us who believe in Christ freedom and salvation. And so we'll sing together the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Let's stand and sing, if we can, together.
When I survey the
So our next reading carries on from where Colin left off in Luke 22 from verse 66, and we'll go into chapter 23, verse 25. Finley's going to lead us in this portion of the reading, and then will again lead us in a word of prayer if his voice holds up.
I'm not sure. Luke 22 from verse 66. At daybreak, the council of the elders and of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man to be subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be the Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Let's come before our Father in prayer. Lord, this is a hard passage for us to read. It's a really tough passage to hear, a bit of history that we are saddened by, that we are ashamed of, that you, the loving God came to meet with your people. And your people did not welcome you. Your people did not recognize you for who you were. Or even when they did, when they saw that glimpse of who you were, they still demanded that you be crucified. That they rejected the truth. You are the truth, Lord. And these people rejected you. That you who did no wrong, you were the only innocent man who ever walked this earth, but yet you were condemned to death, even death on a cross. It's a hard passage for us to read, a hard passage for us to hear. The injustice, the lack of integrity. Pilate, we see here, recognizes you as an innocent man and yet is overwhelmed by the crowd and decides to just go along with them, knowing what he is doing is wrong. Father, forgive us. We are the people. We are your creation that has gone astray from you, that has gone our own way, that has wanted nothing to do with you. And yet you are the Christ. You are the loving God. You are the one who sat through all of this, who went through it all, who stayed silent so often. Not because you were powerless, but because you had a purpose in it all, Lord. You did it out of love for the very people that were shouting, "Crucify him." As they crucified you, Lord, you said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." What love. We wonder at your love, and we thank you for it. Thank you for your sacrifice and for your willingness to go through all of this, to go through death on a cross, that we might be one with the Father again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Finley. As we reflect on these things, it's a good time to reflect on our own sin and our own need for forgiveness, and that we have that forgiveness in Christ. And so in order to do that, we're going to sing David's great psalm of repentance in two parts, Psalm 51. We'll sing the first part now and then the second just before we close. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 9. Oh my God, have mercy on me. In your steadfast love, I pray. In your infinite compassion, my transgressions wipe away. Page 67, if you want to use the psalm books, all the words will be on the screen. Yeah, let's stand together and sing.
Oh my God, have mercy on me.
Bye.
Good. Our next reading is going to be continuing from Luke 23, from verse 26 through to 43. Unfortunately, Ken got called up for gritting duty, so he's out keeping our roads safe this evening. But very kindly, Peter has agreed to come and do Ken's reading for us. So he's going to read this portion of Luke's Gospel from chapter 23, from 26 to 43. Thanks.
The Crucifixion of Jesus. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that have never bore, the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our sins deserve, what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'"
Fine, let's join together in prayer once more. Lord, as we think about that horrible day, that joyous day when Christ went to his cross for us, we remember that at any moment he could have ended it. When he was before the chief priests and the teachers of the law, facing that sham trial, Lord, he could have ended it. He could have walked away. When he was brought before Pilate and Herod, Lord, he could have ended it and walked away. When he was being flogged and beaten and mocked, he could have ended it and walked away. When he was walking up that hill, too weak to carry his own cross, Lord, he could have ended it. He could have walked away. As they were driving the nails through his hands and his feet, Lord, he could have ended it. He could have walked away. As he hung there on that cross, wearing his crown of thorns, with that sign which mocked him, with a thief who mocked him, with the soldiers and the onlookers mocking him, Lord, he could have ended it. He could have called down a legion of angels to have freed him, taken him down from the cross, and walked away. Lord, at any moment in this, he could have ended it, but he did not. He endured it. He suffered it. It happened because he willed it to happen. He went to that cross willingly. He suffered willingly. He endured the punishment of our sins that even this criminal recognized. Lord, we praise you for the cross. We glorify you for the cross. We thank Christ for the cross, because through him and what he did there, we are forgiven. We remember those words that Jesus told that criminal next to him. Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Lord, this is the promise that you make to those who believe, those who trust, those who follow. Though it may not be this day, Lord, we will be with you in paradise. And we praise you for this. And we thank you that you have given us the opportunity. You have given us the challenge. You have given us the job of preaching your gospel to the world, of sharing the hope of Christ with our friends and neighbors and our loved ones, of being able to have that great privilege to say to them, if you follow Jesus, you too shall be with him in paradise. Lord, we thank you and we glorify you this evening. And as we go home in a short while, Lord, may these things lay heavy on our hearts, but let us also be filled with joy, because again we have that reminder that Sunday is coming, that the resurrection of Christ is coming, and that though he was dead, he is now alive again by your side. Help us, O Lord, to come to you anew this evening. Perhaps we've drifted. Perhaps we've not been as dedicated as we would like. Perhaps in some way we're not as close to you as we would wish. Lord, we laid all that aside tonight and come to you anew, like this thief on the cross. Lord, we know what we deserve. And we know that Christ did not deserve what he did, what he suffered, but he did it for us. And so, Lord, we renew our faith by your Holy Spirit. Lord, strengthen us. Lord, we confess our sins to you. We repent and turn from them, laying them at that cross where Jesus hung and died, knowing that we are forgiven and are redeemed and are restored by him. Help us and strengthen us and glorify us in the last days, we pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we ask it. Amen. Our final reading then will be led by me. We're going to carry on from where Peter left off. It's a verse 44 of Luke 23. We're on page 1060, actually. I forgot to change it on the slide. 1060. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what had taken place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea. He himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, saw the tomb, and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Amen. And we ask God to pour out his blessings upon us from these readings of his precious, holy, inspired word. We're going to say together that prayer that is in your bulletin. It's going to go up on the screen as well, if you'd rather follow it from there. This is from the Book of Common Prayer, and it's just a simple prayer, a collect, it's called, for Good Friday, where we focus on Christ and humble ourselves before him. Let's read this prayer out together. Eternal God, in the cross of Jesus, we see the cost of our sin and the depth of your love. In humble hope and fear, may we place at his feet all that we have and all that we are, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's end, friends, our service this evening by singing the final section of Psalm 51. So we're going to carry on from verse 10 through to the end of verse 19. It's page 68 if you want to use your books. Lord, create a pure heart in me, and a steadfast mind renew. Do not take your spirit from me. Cast me not away from you. Let's stand and sing our final psalm of praise together.
Lord, create a pure heart in me, and a steadfast mind renew. Do not take my spirit from me. Cast me not away from you. Give me back the
And it's quite apt that when we began, the sun was out. Now it is gone, and darkness is reigning. But we remember that the dawn is coming, that Christ is risen, and that the light will always defeat the darkness. Let's have our final prayer and then our benediction. Lord, we praise you for what Christ has done. This may be a familiar passage that we've read or heard dozens of times. Lord, let them speak to us in power this evening. Let them show us the love of Christ, the love of the Father, and the love of the Holy Spirit poured out upon the world for sinners, for those who have no righteousness of our own, can never hope to gain any. And yet we have been given the very righteousness of Christ. And so as we look forward to celebrating Resurrection Day on Sunday, as we look forward to remembering that morning when the women went to the tomb and found it empty, found those linen cloths folded and placed neatly on the slab where Jesus lay, and then to see him in his risen glory before them. Lord, we look forward to seeing your face in glory when our time comes. But before that day, Lord, use us for your kingdom. Use us for your glory. Use us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, Lord, we pray, and fill us with your light so that it shines forth from our eyes and all can see Christ in us and maybe question whether or not he is worth looking into for themselves. Help us in all these things, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, friends, receive the blessings of God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, be with you and with all God's people now and forevermore. Amen.